do.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
Some genius.
Whenever you drive the car, there is always an unseen, unwelcome passenger with you. That passenger is
Bob.
What's the matter with Bob?
Unfortunately,
Bob
seems to have the absurd charmed life. No traffic accident can happen to him. So when you're behind that wheel, don't obey traffic rules, but drive the car for life, your life, and the lives of
Bob.
We apologize for the technical difficulties you're currently experiencing. If you would like, you can go ahead and pick up the green or the blue pill located under your seat. This will further enhance the experience for you. Please be careful when rising from your seat and remember to follow the lighted lines along the aisles. I hope you enjoy your trip. Thank you very much and bear with us. Ding. We will be taxiing on the runway for just a few moments and our flight will begin shortly.
Ding.
Thank you so much for flying Subgenius Airlines and enjoy your trip.
Ding.
Like a dripping wet mango. Slack dripping like an orange, juicy and full. Slack dripping like an orange, juicy and full. Sorry. But you know when you get all that excited.
It's like that.
Ooh.
And please don't forget to wear all the special equipment we've given you and quote as many of the silly science fiction phrases like proton pack, nuclear device, weekend whacker, and all of the other things that we've been telling you as you board the ships.
If it makes you feel better.
Also remember, after boarding the ships, there's a brief moment of unconsciousness called the swoon, followed by some indigenous music played by Aborigines.
On a didgeridoo.
And there's the smell of acrid fires burning as the Temple of Truth goes up all poo-poo. A friendly reminder again.
Sack after sack of delicious coffee beans will be ground for your delectation and enjoyment.
And for some of you, your bodies will be ground and made part of that sample sumptuous ritual.
Yes, there will be that communication of communion. We call it the mingling.
Yes, dear friends, the mingling. That was Dr. Howell and Lonesome Cowboy Dave live at X-Day 9, the end of the world festival of the Church of the Subgenius. And this radio episode, Hour of Slack number 1057, is the third of our reports, recorded entirely at the July 5th week-long festival, or at radio stations WCSB in Cleveland and KPFA in Berkeley, on the shows of Dr. Sinister and Puzzling Evidence, respectively, right after 9X Day. And before that little clip, we heard Priestess Pisces with Five-Fisted Tales of Connie, and more of that great improv Wotan Doctor Band also, as well as rants from young subgeniuses such as the evocative Popes Pantiera Ivakovich. All of these were recorded at Brushwood Folklore Center in deep rural New York. But don't get the wrong idea.
Well, X-Day happens everywhere.
Really,
it happens all over the whole world. We just happen to choose Brushwood as a great place to have a party where you can make noise all night long and nobody cares how weird you get.
Yeah, it's I enjoyed that that setting a lot. You know, and you know what? It's always 7 a.m. July 5th, 1998 somewhere.
Right. Well, actually, it has never been July 5th, 1998 on this planet yet.
Right.
We know that. It may have been on some other planet.
Quite a few.
And we may not be on the planet we think we are on either.
That's right.
Again, we apologize for the technical difficulties. If you would, again, bear with us just momentarily. If you look to your left, you will notice someone who you probably haven't touched in any way today. If you look to your right, you'll also notice a lot of nothing. Enjoy the scenery and bear with us. It'll be a few moments.
So did you give rant and did you go to...
Yes, I
what happened
rant
to that stank?
Rant and rave and we do
did
the
Did you go
auction.
To Stank's house and just rant? Just walk around the house and rant?
I never... I was hardly in Stank's house at all because
that's
the
how it is in
airplane malfunctioned horrendously, sending me to a
it's
hotel
like near Target City.
For two nights in a row in New Jersey, flying me to Boston, Massachusetts. And other places that I didn't
Are
need to be.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding.
You had to go to some place for two nights in a row before you even got there?
Yes, and I various flights kept getting canceled, and finally they couldn't even accommodate me on that airline. They took me off and put me on another airline.
Everything's like
Was this because
now.
You were on, like, you know, junior Baba?
It had,
nothing
to do
were
with...
Were you on Ragtag Airlines?
I'm going to write them
California?
A letter and give them
you
a piece
right
of
on
my
for the next
mind,
religious
I
holiday.
That's no way to treat an aeroline passenger.
American substandard airways.
Well, about now, you know, this is all now boring. Yeah, we're forgetting about Bob. We're talking about airlines. And the fact is that I did finally make it to
okay, we're
the Brushwood Campground.
The actual story here. Pay-as-you-go airlines. We're about to run out of fuel, folks.
A number of humiliating or embarrassing pictures were taken of me and some of the other participants this year that Stang has already put into his digital sensorium. People constantly posed in a grotesque and antic fashion.
Can Bob come out to play? Can Bob come out to play? I saw him the other day. Can Bob come out to play? I just want to play a few games. The kind that make you feel kind of special inside. Can Bob come out to play? I really want to play. Can Bob come out to play? All right, maybe some other day.
Luckily, the Exus portal is scheduled to open. You know, the two great red spots of Jupiter are due to collide on July 4th.
And you think you've heard of the worst Excedrin headache ever.
Friends, these storms, the great red spot, for instance, is the size of 7 planet Earths lined up together.
They're going to need some cosmic clearasil for this one.
Red Junior, as it's called, is approaching the Great Red Spot, which by the way, features winds of poisonous toxic chemicals 350 miles an hour.
Yes, so stop complaining about campground conditions.
Right. You think you've got it bad here? Think about those Exus emerging through that portal.
The tang of Earth's oxygen-stuffed atmosphere.
Well, and the tang of the souls. Bob's going to be selling those.
The obnoxious organic compounds that have been festering here for millions of years.
But not your soul, friend, because you bought protection from the greatest insurance agent in the world, Mr. J.R. Bob Dobbs.
Consider it a kind of firewall.
That's right. It keeps the bad gods out and keeps your own soul in. So only Bob can get to it. Your soul ain't going to be going through anybody's pipe but his.
Oh, he can get to it. He can get to it, all right. Yeah, yeah. He really gets to it.
Bob can get to your soul from through so many different
orifices,
paths. Orifices or thoughts. He can get just through attitudes can open a doorway to Bob. You don't have to immediately think of holes in your body being the way Bob comes in.
And
you don't
Bob,
have to smoke Bob. No, you throw yourself into Bob's pipe and let him smoke you. That's what's in that damn pipe. That's what's in his head. Look at this. There's a perfect example is drawn onto my sacred T-shirt here. As you can see, Bob is smoking, well, actually, this brain, that's you, is using the bowl of Bob's pipe to smoke his brain, which has been lit and is on fire.
We would consider this a symbiosis, a mutually benevolent relationship between the operator and the patient.
Well, let's
reveal more subgenius wonders here.
And by the way, when I left for parts unknown to Hobnob and otherwise Flapjack and Jim Jam with my brother wizards, there was a little red spot on the planet Jupiter moving toward the big red spot. And what happened? We were out of touch. There was an overcast sky, even though we had a telescope.
We were given those instructions to forget about
that. It's a conspiracy.
Now, according to some apocalyptic...
Now, did you forget about it? You obviously didn't get the instructions.
They said that what was supposed to happen is when the little irritating red spot met the great red spot...
That's a great movie, Doom.
There would be a battle of red spots that was beyond all conception at that point.
No, Stang said a million monoliths, like in 2001, would come out of that convergence.
A tiny red spot was completely and the then there, underdog in
there
this
would be
battle.
The million
the David
monolith
in
march.
This Goliath versus David.
Well, however you explain it, in allegorical or scientific form, we didn't know what happened. And then
well,
we
I'm telling you what happened. You know what happened to Goliath,
Rocknar
right?
walking through camp saying, hey, guess what? We're at war with Korea.
Wristbands. We ran out of the X wristbands this year, which we thought was significant. Another thing that was significant is that a fog rolled in just as we were looking through the telescope at Jupiter and saw the big storms lining up.
I missed that. I wanted to see the telescope.
Yeah, of course you missed it. There was a fog, and conspiracy, of course, won't talk about what happened. But I saw the million monolith march began as all those 2001 monoliths emerged from that vortex, crisscrossed like X's. It really happened. But we didn't have there was no way to, like, photograph it through the little telescope. And then the fog covered everything.
Well, Jehovah.
And then the zombies came.
Yeah.
You know, there were actually, were you there when the zombies came out during that rave?
I encountered a few of the zombies left over after the initial massacre. I ended up having to hack a few.
That was the most amazing zombie attack because first they came lurching out of the woods, friends of ours, former subgeniuses, now looking like Romero zombies, and they grabbed various dancers at the rave who were so high they didn't know what they were doing. The zombies would bite them on the neck and drag them away, and then those people they'd bitten would come back. So after the first wave of zombies, there was a whole second wave of zombies.
You know, I always come prepared for potential zombie attacks. When I go to X Day, I probably never really told anybody that before, but it's always been a sneaking suspicion that it was going to happen one of these days, and I'm glad I was prepared this time.
Now, why couldn't you have set your camera up by the other end of the drive-in stage, and you could have caught this image of those Romero zombies just shambling towards the drive-in from the
They come
the
out
pavilion.
Of the screen!
Yeah.
It's so horrifying! It's so realistic! The zombies will come right out of the screen!
There are slack angels. There are slack demons. They give and they take. And my soul aches! Fuck liberty. Fuck death. Give me slack. I need it. I need it like I need my breath. What about me, Bob? What about me? I'm lost, a slackless child, in a sea of the conspiracy. What about me, Bob? What about me. A lost child and a slackless conspiracy.
Ago, there was a saucer already here. They're checking out to see who's coming here tonight. But it's not July 5th yet, so they didn't land. Hopefully, they will land this year, though. Because, well, I'm out of money and I don't know what I'm going to do after this.
Well, you could take a break. I could sing my X-Day song. So sweet and delightful. I sang it for Ivan sang, and I sang it for the bewildered bobbies from the stage. And then I told them, what?
Well, if that don't be all.
Well, I've got the one I did, so I could do that one.
Oh, your song.
Yeah.
Whip it out.
All right. I'm going to sing
not
my...
that! The
too
song.
Late. Too late. The X-Day song that I wrote in the airport. I had to circle around and around forever, thinking I would actually never get here. X-Day is here. The mountains fall. I cringe and hide my head. I never send in my 30 bucks. My soul is filled with dread. Oh, Bob, just let me live, and all that is mine I most surely will give. Oh, lift me away on your bright saucer ship to my subgenius home. Oh, bear me away on your bright shining ship to my subgenius home. I laughed at Bob, ah, woe is me. I thirst for slack in vain. Now he still grins and smokes his pipe. I must have been insane. Oh, Bob, just let me live, and all that is mine I most surely will give. Oh, lift me away on your bright saucer ship to my subgenius home. Oh, bear me away on your bright shining ship to my subgenius home. I saw the pinks and normals flee the dreadful harvest from the sky. They perish like the melting snow, yet not a one knows why. Oh, Bob, just let me live, and all that is mine I most surely will give. Oh, lift me away on your bright saucer ship to my subgenius home. Oh, bear me away on your bright shining ship to my subgenius home. The towers of the proud did fall. There was no shelter from that storm. While far above, subgeniuses watched in comfort safe and warm. It was a dream, but then I woke. The rupture still can be mine. I wrote out a check to Ivan Stang. Now Bob's grin seems benign. Oh, Bob, just let me live, and all that is mine I most surely will give. Oh, lift me away on your bright saucer ship to my subgenius home. Oh, bear me away on your bright shining ship to my subgenius home.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
There, there. It's all right.
My grandpa used to sing that to me back long years before you even wrote that song.
Yes, I know. Well, you see, the bosom of the people, the simple-minded faith in Bob persists. The gap-toothed credulity which supports Bob and all his works, it comes from the horny-handed sons of the soil, the salt of the earth, the pepper who've been mustered in the ranks and legions on the great day. Hallelujah, Gobble.
You sure got a pretty mouth, Dr. Howe.
I'm not sure I like to hear that kind of language in this here rural setting. But we have much to explain and explicate of the many wonderful and notable works and wonders of Bob.
Yes, this is me, Bernard. I just wanted to call. You know, as I speak, you know, the UFOs are appearing outside the window again today, the 5th of July. And, you know, sometimes when they do appear, like, other lights start flashing on and off of them, like these newly, like this newly built house, like these newly built houses right next by this house that I'm living in. Sometimes the lights flash on and off when they appear or don't appear. The UFOs have come back. They're outside my window as I speak. I can see them. I hope it means that X-Day is coming.
Oh, by the way, speaking of burnings, the potluck dinner is tomorrow. Obviously, it's a little late for it now. Though I know some people are leaving, that means you have to give us your food and you don't get any of ours. I'm sorry, but probably next year it'll be the other way around. Next year. See, listen, how I automatically make these assumptions. I've been so used to doing X-Days that turned out to just be drills that I'd make an ass out of Bob and me by assuming that this might be another drill. But I don't see any reason to be assuming anything. We can't assume that this is the year 2006. We can't assume that this is the planet Earth. We can only assume that J.R. Bob Dobbs is him who was foretold. Now, here's a poem by young Reverend Nenslow, age 7, from Portland,
wonderful.
Oregon. You might want to read it, or it's kind of long. You might want to read some of it.
Good God, it's a Nenslow poem of endless verses.
Well, it's a next day porn, though.
I'm filled with anticipation as I wait to go away. I'm going home to Planet X, for it's X day today. My life is put on hold as I throw away my past. I can't go on with my life. I give in to my fears at last. I never tried to chase a rainbow or tried to live a dream. I made very few mistakes. My heart was right, it seemed. Never wanted to be somebody, just a soul, just passing by. I had no grandiose vision, was not aiming for the sky, but Bob had other plans for me. He yanked my feet up off the ground. He said, "If you want to serve me, then take a look around. You see, there are many people in this stupid world, you know, and it's up to you to tell them exactly where to go. So you made a few mistakes, as so many do, but if you can send me $30, I can still use you. Exalt yourself and tell them of the mistakes that they have made. Then tell them of my smiling face and the price that you have paid. I will sell you purpose, provision, and a name. Your life will be confusing. It will never be the same. I have never been right here with you, even when life was hard. I knew you couldn't make it. I knew it from the start. So keep on calling my name whenever you need a hand, and your dollars you must send to me as countless as the sand. I always will forsake you. I will always leave you cold, especially when you make mistakes and are growing very old. Now take my words and tell your friends of the message that I gave, and be my witness to the world, and dig your fucking grave."
Reverend Nenslow, age 6.
Yes, that young man shows great promise in the poetic department.
And you know, his poos make better Dobbs heads than the ones that little Vreedy's paints.
I know,
his paintbrush.
It really drives him insane, too.
I'm playing the whole movies here backstage. This is where the UFOs are showing
much
up.
Much like this show.
Hero shot.
Carmack. Yeah, they're staying. You can see by his waving his hair. Oh, that's it. Oh, I thought that was his hair.
Hero shot. That's like money
Sister
shot.
Sister Decadence. There's Ragnar's new girlfriend, an exotic dancer.
And he's already pregnant.
Well, look at this incredible shot here.
Did she bring? Did Ragnar bring her this year?
Subs, and these are this guy here has his hair dyed pink, and
I thought that was Creammaster.
No, that was a different matter. These are the old Kentucky subs, where the birds make music all the day.
I'm creaming all over my.
So what kind of camps are there? There's Doc Frop's camp, of course. All right,
Doc Frop's camp is under the trees. It's all spread out into different rooms and things. But others are right up there in the main drag on the hill. That's where the subgenius youths are. And for the first time, we saw 18-year-old Pantiera Ivokovic.
She's like Bjork.
Who had written on alt flag, but now appeared in person and was personally baptized by me and Ivan Slay. When we did the baptism this year.
Now, was she your personal bed warmer this year?
Not at all. She stuck to her own side of the camp. I hardly exchanged a few words with her.
That's a shame.
I did talk to her at the end, though, about a couple of things. It was rather interesting. She gave some interesting testimony one night at the ranting and raving, screeching screamathon for Bob.
Oh, now we got a few.
Someone step to the microphone and tell us, what has Bob done to you? What do the pinks mean to you?
Ah! Reverend Pantiera!
You want to know what Bob did to me?
Yes!
Well, he fucked me in the ass and gave me inspiration. And you know what? That's even doubly weird because Bob is our father. Bob is the father of all of us.
Praise Bob!
He is magical sperm.
Yes, he does.
It's the gargle.
Woo! Oh,
saying Bob fucked my mom?
Yes.
Praise the holy sperm.
I'm afraid so.
Yeah.
Who hasn't fucked your mom?
And she paid.
Even I fucked your mom. I don't even know who she is.
Praise mom, the Jews guys only whore.
Yay.
Yay, mom.
Everybody needs a father, not because fathers necessarily love you and teach you how to play catch. Bob isn't that kind of a father.
All my father ever did was smack me around.
That's
Bob. Exactly! Bob takes out the belt whenever you sneeze and he says, shut up!
Bitch!
Woo!
Get off my freaking lawn!
Get back on the grass!
Get back into the sweatshop and make me my shoes!
Good job, sister!
But, as neglectful and hateful as Bob
you said
may be,
butt.
I said but. That was funny. As neglectful and hateful as Bob as a father may be,
don't mind me, I'll just kick in every once in a while.
He's still our father. And he taught us everything we know, and we are just as fucked up as him.
Yeah!
And we deserve
us
to kill him whenever we feel like it. Not in Dallas, not with a sniper rifle, while he's in a convertible waving at people. We need to kill him.
While he's on the shitter!
Now. Exactly! For no reason.
While he's hanging behind the stage! Oh, fuck!
They use carrier pigeon to communicate with the outside world from X-Day.
Oh, yeah.
And the carrier and the pigeons are trained.
Are they my pigeons?
And then they have those subgenuses that sit on the bridge.
They're only used to
shoot pigeons.
Yeah. And, I wondered why they disappear for 1 week. And
yep.
Then,
and they're trained to kind of be able to get away from the rock, the UFO blast as it leaves the earth.
There's where the birds wobble sweet.
They're cool like that, my pigeons.
There's where those old carrier pigeons long to go.
Hey there.
Hi.
Hey
did
there.
Did you bring the supplies?
Bear.
Hey, good looking.
Did you bring the, quote, you got supplies, unquote?
How about wink, cooking wink. Something up
nudge,
with
nudge.
Me?
Nibble, nibble.
Well, you fellas
hey,
I gotta go.
What? Well, no, wait,
when
wait,
you
wait.
Gotta go.
You just
yeah,
got
there
here.
There
she goes. That's the only thing
you just
she
got here.
Was
you only got here long enough to tell us you had to go.
There she goes, all dressed up in her Sunday clothes.
That just isn't right.
You know, I hate it when you're sitting in your house and then your friend just sticks their head in the door and goes, gotta go, see ya.
She was a UFO person. She was checking to see if we believe the world is over.
But, well, it depends on what your definition of over means.
I mean, because I'm over it.
Do you mean over? Like,
yeah, she's over the end of the world.
I'm over.
Yeah. I'm like floating right now.
We're completely over, dude.
What, you guys are gonna come out here to space?
We've made it over.
And you're not gonna go into space?
We're on the other side now. We don't need to go into space because we're already on the other side.
Yep, we are the other side, folks. You're listening to this show from the other side of the end of the world.
Wait, isn't there an R on the other side?
Yeah, there is.
Thank you for calling the Slack Crisis Line. We appreciate you holding. A representative will be with you very shortly. Please hold. We appreciate you holding.
I don't have any Slack Princess Pisces.
There's like way too many slackful people here. How can I help your Slack crises?
I work for Bob.
You work for Bob, I understand.
Yeah. And I have to do all this stuff. I thought it was all going to be creative, but I spend my time making membership packs and typing in credit card numbers, and I'd probably be making more money if I worked for my dad or something, if my dad had a job, but I just don't have any slack.
Calm down, sir, we're here to help. Let's see what we can do about the situation. So if I got you right, and just correct me if I'm wrong, the problem seems to stem from the fact that it's all work and no slack for you. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. And nobody will help me wipe my butt either. I have to do everything myself, including wipe my ass.
I understand. We do have a solution for you, sir.
How much is it? They always want a lot of money for that kind of stuff.
Sir, the solution is only $30.
Then it must be a ripoff, because it should be like $300,000, or it probably doesn't work.
Oh, no, sir. It is a $30 cost with eternal salvation guarantee.
Man, it's like that's like giving it away for free. Why would anybody get everything they ever wanted in their whole life? Just for $30. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, you see, sir, we had gotten a package deal on Slack many years ago in an auction. Well, because of this package deal, we are able to turn the savings over to you.
I can get Slack for cheaper? Like, well, even if I don't need it, I'll buy it then.
Absolutely, sir. Now, if you'll just bear with me, what I'm going to do is go ahead and verify your information here. Be one moment, let me get into the system. Okay, sir, I do show that you are still located at this address.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. We'll be sending someone out to pick you up shortly. Be warned, though, sir, don't be startled. What is coming for you is not a traditional mode of transportation. It will be a large flying saucer.
That's what they said in the last cult I joined.
Basically, the flying saucer will be arriving at 7 a.m. on July 5th. Do be prepared. There will be no second chances to arrive on this saucer.
I feel like I'd be a stupid idiot to believe any of this bullshit, though. I'm just so lost. Bob, it's too good to be true.
I understand your feelings. I understand your concerns, and I certainly feel those.
The Scientologists charge $30,000. That's got to be more worth it.
More worth it to you?
Sure.
Huh?
Something that's only $30, that's only worth $30.
But the question is, if you really could get eternal salvation for $30, why not take it?
But I won't get eternal salvation until I'm dead, man.
It's triple your money back.
Oh, in that case, sure, okay, all right.
Okay, sir, again, the saucers will be picking you up at 7 a.m. on July 5th. Your confirmation number for this order is 13013. I do want to let you know that clothing is optional for your arrival.
Whoa.
Just to
Even
make
sure. For chicks?
There will be females of your species available on this trip.
Whoa.
Breathe okay, deeply, okay. Put your hands on the switches, and set them to their optimal setting. Remember that as complicated as these
reset,
gadgets,
goo-gaws,
ding-fusters, contraptoids, and whatchamacallits are, as intricate and annoying as they are, the human mind and hand is infinitely more intricate and annoying.
You got that straight, brother.
And you don't seem to be doing so bad. You're going to that special site, I see, that always calms you down and stimulates your red corpuscles.
I'm always much happier if I'm trying to fix a machine.
Yes.
I can't fix people.
Right, well.
I mean, I've learned a long time ago, you don't try to fix people. You can sometimes exploit their sickness or their disease or their weakness. Or their strength, even, if you can find any. Sorry if I sound a little bitter,
well,
but I've
worry.
Been to, this is the 11th X-Day. And I'm getting tired of this shit. If Bob doesn't come through this time, and please, folks, don't say, Reverend Stang, how come the X's didn't show up? I've gotten real tired of that. I'm not, do you see a pipe in my mouth, friends? Do you? Not right now. I mean, sometimes, yeah, sure. But not, you know what I mean. Do you see dots on my face? Well, yeah, but you know what I mean.
It's funny, when you put your glasses on, those dots get into even stronger focus. So maybe they really are there.
No, it's not like Clark Kent and Superman. I mean, you could tell that was Superman with glasses on.
Could you, though? You know,
if you weren't a dumbass, luckily he worked with reporters at a big city newspaper.
You're a dumbass because you're a human. But he's a Superman. You see, this, remember, is being depicted by humans, not Superman. It's being depicted in crude four-color comic book colors. But the thing about Superman is that he must...
Oh, did they do a comic book of the movie?
Well,
wow.
No doubt they will. But the thing about Superman is that he has to dumb himself down. He has to do an elaborate act to be a human. And that was the major difference.
I kind of know how he feels, only it's in reverse.
Well,
me.
That is why Superman appeals to so many people, because they think, yeah, I'm not Clark Kent, I'm really Superman. That's the thing about him. Say, compared to another superhero, like Billy Batson is wandering through the sewer and he suddenly meets some old geezer who gives him the special word which he will... say, and turn into Captain Marvel. But he's really Billy Batson, crippled newsboy, who only occasionally turns into the big red cheese, Captain Marvel. Batman puts on a suit. He's really Bruce Wayne, but he puts on a suit and becomes a Batman. But Superman really is Superman. He puts on a suit and becomes the normal guy. The normal identity is the put on. The secret identity is not the real identity, which is the super guy in the underwear, and he has to pull his punches to live on the earth without destroying everyone in it. I remember an old Superman comic I read as a kid. He flew millions of miles out into space just to sneeze, and he destroyed a whole solar system. Did you see that one? Well, I remember reading it. Planets went tumbling this way and that. When Superman hits the bad guy, do you think he's not pulling his punch? He'd splash that bad guy's molecules over everywhere he was. And the reason he can show such superhuman forbearance is he's superhuman. Normal jerks couldn't do it. Do you think Clark Kent masturbated? Well, he'd better not have. He has superhuman restraint. You've got to pity him. If he did masturbate, of course, those spermatozoans would also be super. They could travel at the speed of light, leaving eerie trails of glowing Cherenkov radiation behind. Pretty soon, they would find and enter every female womb in Smallville. Now, the normal egg only admits one particular spermatozoan and the rest die. But these things would just commit super rape and penetrate every egg that they immediately found. And, of course, fortunately, they couldn't sire a progeny because it's essentially bestiality. If Superman and Lois Lane had sex, that would be an unnatural act, friends. Don't let anyone tell you different. He looks like us, but that is from convergent evolution. Similar forces cause him to assume the human shape. But he's no Humi from planet Dirtball. He comes from the planet Krypton under a giant red sun. Our yellow sun gives him power. And he can frisk and frolic in the middle of the yellow sun.
My yellow sun runs away every time it's time to clean his room.
Well, you see, that's what happens when magnetic attraction and synovial forces are working in the cosmos. But in addition to the repulsive force, there is the attractive advancing force. Anyway, Superman is a sad case, really. He's super, but his terrible penalty is he's alone and there's nobody like him. And this new movie is quite wrong when it claims that the planet Krypton still exists. Did you know that? In this new stupid Superman movie, the planet Krypton still exists, and he goes off there for a vacation. Well, that ruins everything. That ruins the sad, Byronic predicament of Superman as being one against all, because now he has a place to go. And furthermore, that even demeans his association with the inferior humans. He's slumming. He's mocking us, ladies and gentlemen. He isn't here helping us out. He's here playing a very cruel joke. And you can put me down on Lex Luthor's side. That is, if the planet Krypton still exists. But it doesn't. They just have to mess with everything. Krypton blew up and turned into billions and billions of tons of glowing greenish rock, deadly poisonous to Superman.
Someday Superman will come and destroy Hollywood. That would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
You know, but for the subgenius, it's a struggle just to pass as Clark Kent. In the opposite direction. It takes tremendous concentration. You have to, most of us aren't up for it. Can't hold down.
I know.
Mingle with the humans.
We're
not super.
We are fallible beings. We may be better than the normals, but we are still capable of error, of superhuman error, but we are capable of
error. I don't even know how to turn the lights on here.
No. But by subgenius bumbling, you will eventually find out how.
But then Bob proved himself on July 5th when Ken Lay died.
That I heard that news on the way home on the radio, and I was just like, what? I was you know, that bastard died in his vacation home in Aspen, Colorado.
But he died on July 5th.
Surrounded by luxury. You know, every imaginable luxury he was surrounded by. And, you know, that's a much better fate. That, you know, what did he die in his sleep too? I mean, that's a much better fate than the lives of the people he.
Well, he had a heart attack. I imagine that would wake you up.
Well,
No, a lot of people sleep right through heart attacks and never wake up.
And any other day, if Ken Lay had died, we would be angry and grumpy. But he died on July 5th, so that proves that there is J.R. Bob Dobbs.
Well, you know, I hate to, I will not relax my intellectual standards for. For even for this program, and not even for Bob, I'm sorry, but that just doesn't flow. It just doesn't follow logically that it proves there's a Bob.
Well, he got...
I know there's a Bob because I saw him and we burned him alive, remember?
Well, we always burned him alive.
Right, but this, I mean, he keeps coming back for more.
Friends, screw everything, because the world has ended, and you may have died. You think about that. You don't know. This might be the escape vessels. There's so much we don't know. That's really the whole point of Bob's new improved word. You just don't know. You don't know if tomorrow some unknown secret relative is going to die and leave you a fortune. Or you don't know if some asteroid is going to crash on the house of an enemy you didn't even know you had. How will you prove it didn't happen? So, friends, don't be so sure. We think we know everything. We think we know this world is round. We think we know that we're on planet Earth. We think we know this is the year 2006. There's a man who knows. Welcome to my world, his T-shirt says. Oh, it's a cube. I see. It's
like the Bizarro world.
That's right. The Bizarro planet looks like that, a cube. Yeah. We don't know, friends. In fact, the new Bibliographon offers some revelations. It's not just the same old, same old.
That's right.
Is at first. It's
there
praising
are
Bob and hailing
awesome God. Secrets between its pages. Mind-shaking, brain-breaking revelations of cosmic awfulness and immensity, which will shake you from your head to your heels and rivet you to your inner core. Just have to read closely.
I'm tempted to reveal what the final chapter
says. Yeah, give them a sample. Just one sample of supernal cosmic trans hideousness.
I'll just say this once and then we'll move on. This planet is Mars. Thank you.
At seven, come down.
suffering soon will end. The pain that they've caused you shall be repaid. Come down from the heavens, take us higher.
Listening to the Hour of Slack, a radio ministry of the Church of the Subgenius. The background music you're hearing right now is by Reverend Angry Larry with Lonesome Cowboy Dave, Reverend Carter LeBlanc, Reverend Two Beans, Reverend Phil, and Princess Wee, also known as Five Fisted Tales of Connie. For more information on the Church of the Subgenius, go to subgenius.com on the interweb. And congratulations to Dr. Philo Ulysses Drummond and his new bride, fairly new, Reverend Chaos McKitty, on the birth of the Over Baby. Slightly after the world ended, friends, praise Bob and praise the Over Baby.